My name is Garland Robinson. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, we read, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Here the Bible is talking about children. Children are to honor their parents. That is a quotation from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, where we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." We read in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The word honor means to esteem, to appreciate the worth of, to honor a thing prized. It means to respect. Now that's not done, young people, when a child refers to their father as old man or their mother as the old lady. Such terms show utter disrespect, and God's not going to hold one guiltless who does such things. Children are obligated to show their parents respect and reverence. God's always required honor and respect, and He says that we are to do that to those who are older, not just our parents. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, we read, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head." A hoary head means one who's white or gray hair, one of age and wisdom. "Rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Friend, do you do that with the older person? It is one who has years of experience, has gained wisdom as a result of it. The Bible demands the young honor the old. An example from the Old Testament helps us to see the tragic results of not honoring and showing respect to those who are older. Notice what we read of Elisha the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. "And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them." These young people did not show respect to those who were older, and they paid the price with their lives. While in youth, many have seen the time when they thought their parents were the most ignorant and senile people in all the world. Children have been embarrassed to be hugged by a parent or even seen with them in public. But when their parents are older, perhaps near death, or maybe even after they've died, children have cried buckets of tears just wishing for the opportunity to have one more hug, one more bit of sage advice, one more thought of counsel, one more moment to hear their voice, one more moment to hold their hand. In times like these, it'd be worth the whole world to be with them just one more time. Young person, if you don't believe me, you wait till your parents get old, and then they pass away, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Young people, respect and honor your parents. Give them the reverence they deserve. Listen to their counsel. Pay attention to their needs. Hold dear the many stories they tell you about how things were when they were growing up. I guarantee you one of these days you'll tell your children those same stories. You just wait and see. But once your parents are gone, oh, what you'd give to be able to hear that comforting voice again, to hear those stories of the old days. Friend, if you don't honor them now while you have time and opportunity, you will regret it the rest of your life. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me. Your parents love you with a love beyond explanation. Let them do their job. Let them take care of you. Let them show you the love of God. Children, young people, honor your parents. To respect and honor your parents involves taking care of them when they're unable to take care of themselves. In 1 Timothy 5:4, we read, "But if any widow have children or nephews," the word nephews there would be the idea of grandchildren, "if any widow have children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. When you were born and you couldn't take care of yourself, their whole world was turned upside down. Their life and dreams were put on hold. They focused on you. They provided for you. They took care of you. If and when they reach the point that they can't take care of themselves, it's now your turn to step up to the plate, take hold of your responsibility, provide those things that are needed in their care. You honor them by taking care of them. That is your responsibility. But it's even more than that. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's an opportunity. They will soon pass from this world, and you'll see them no more this side of eternity. Young person, you will regret not honoring your parents. The story was once told of a teenage boy who was carrying his crippled brother on his back everywhere they went. Seeing this, someone asked, "Isn't he awful heavy? Isn't it a burden to carry your brother everywhere you go?" But the teenager replied, "No, it's no burden at all. He's my brother. He can't walk." What some see as a load, a burden, others see as a privilege. Far too many children today put their parents in an old folks' home only because they don't want to take care of them. They don't want to take time and do for them what they cannot do for themselves. They'd rather have them out of sight and consequently out of mind because they see their responsibility, this opportunity they have, and they see it as a burden. And they want no part of it. They think their lives are too busy to care for these old people, but oh, what a shame. What a disgrace that is. There were Jews during the time of Christ who thought they'd figured out a way how to get out of their responsibility of taking care of aged parents. When their parents needed help, the insensitive and callous children would cry, "Corbin, Corbin." Well, the explanation was that the money that they should have used to help their parents had been devoted to God. They'd already committed it as a sacred gift to the temple. In their mind, their vow to give the money to God outweighed their responsibility to relieve their parents. Therefore, they didn't have to help their parents. Jesus made clear that they were hypocrites and that Isaiah had prophesied of them well, condemning them. Their actions made their worship void. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, we read, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Friends, sometimes because of the condition of one's aged parents and or their inability of the children to provide for them what they need, sometimes it becomes necessary for children to take care of them in a facility that's equipped to handle that special need. Those who must use such facilities ought not to feel guilty. God knows if you had the ability or the means to care for your parents, you would. But because of your own physical limitations or know-how or lack of know-how, you're unable to care for them. And so it becomes prudent for children to take care of their parents by utilizing whatever means is available. But the point is this, don't just put them off somewhere and think that your job is done. Do what you're able to do. Call them, visit them, talk with them, spend time with them. And when they've left this world, you'll not regret even 1 minute you spent by their side, even 1 minute you made their last days happy and enjoyable as much as it could be. Young people, or even sometimes not so young, when we get on up to middle age and our parents become aged and need our care, then we need to provide for them. Don't be insensitive. Don't just put them off. Just don't put them out of sight and not care for them at all. God has a covenant with us. The responsibility of children, regardless of age, is to requite, that is, provide for, take care of our aged parents. That is the responsibility. That is the job and task that God has given us to do. And that's why we come back to Ephesians 6 in verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and thy mother. That is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. When we honor our parents, we are providing for them, taking care of them, doing what they need. When we think about children in the sense, in the spiritual sense, we're all children of God. Those who have never obeyed the gospel, they're children of God in a sense, not in a spiritual sense where they're accepted with God, but in the sense that God's our creator. God is the father of us all. But those who live upon this earth, so many, do not accept the Lord, do not want His guidance, do not care for His word. They're selfish and desire to go their own way. We did not evolve. Man is not the product of evolution, but rather of a creative God who, with the power of His own breath, said, "Let there be heaven and earth. Let there be all the living creatures." And His crowning achievement was mankind. And man had breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became alive, and God placed within each one a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. God began to work His plan to save sinful man, knowing that man, if he had his own right to choose, would make the wrong choice, would sin, violate God's word, and would separate himself from an almighty God. And through that separation, Jesus came into this world, lived and died, shed His blood, that we might have the means of forgiveness of our sins. Friend, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, why not repent of your sins? Turn around. Straighten up your life. Walk according to God's holy word. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Become a child of God in the spiritual sense, that you're walking according to God's word, living according to His will, so that you might hear His words one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."